Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to what is another rendition here of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. The D-Man has arrived from the fight in Philadelphia. D-Man's all over the globe. Mikey has arrived from Hardo headquarters, as he called it, Hardo camp.
Yes,
the flags are back up on the Jersey Shore. Really good to see you, fellas.
He looks like you're in paradise over there. That place looks...
He made a real nice accommodation on the road. He made a real nice...
I mean, that one wide vista opening window looks... Oh, my God.
It looks like Bob's in like a penthouse 360 window.
100%. It looks, yeah. Oh, the panoramic. Yeah. Oh, the penthouse. The absolute showstopper.
Are you good now, Bob? You got us? Because you look clearer now.
He looks better now.
Yeah, much better. You want to see a nice touch just with the amenities?
Oh, let's see what. Look really at nice the touch. Size of this room. Whoa!
Wow! Feed Bob nice. Cookie there, D-Man.
Look at that. Is that a cutout character of you?
Yeah.
Oh. Pretty really nice.
I'll tell you what, man. They roll out the look Whoa. At the wood in there. Oh my God, Michael. That is some nice. Now, you could see my old stomping grounds
so
over there.
So that's what's nice. You could look down and you could see where PDD used to operate. Now, look, I wouldn't be staying here, of course, if my cousin didn't run the show.
Not sure about that, but.
Well. Tough start. But you could look down and you could see the house that PDD built right on that roof garden there.
Yeah, the old roof garden, man, the yellow awnings of the umbrellas just brighten up everyone's day. It's the old times, man. Still now, warms my heart.
Michael, I do want to talk about Camp Hardo. And you called it Camp Hardo. It's not me taking a shot. You called it that.
Okay, it's not a shot anymore, Bob, because as far as I'm concerned, a Hardo, if by your guys' definition of a Hardo, it just means a loving, doting father, hardworking man. That's pretty much what it seems like to me when you talk about Hardo. I'm embracing that title. It's perfectly fine.
Is that the way you describe Hardo, Pete?
Yeah, I think it's someone who's very passionate to the next level, like really takes things a step
over
further.
A little over the top.
Yeah, but I think that could let me finish. I do think that could be a good thing at times. There's times where, like, if say for example, you have someone who's planning a trip for like a boys' trip. If you have a hardo like who's doing it, it's gonna be meticulously done.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so there's times being a hardo can play out to the benefit of all. But then there's times where being a hardo, it's a tough watch, you know. But it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing and a curse.
Mikey, it was all going so good. You had to know the bang was coming.
Yeah, Mikey. I mean, it always that you know that train is never late, Bob. You know that train's never late. So
it's the age old. You take the good with the bad, you know.
But again, you know, Joe, it talks about like when we used to do the when we were doing the Audi Club. Like, who do you think made all the planning for that? I don't mind taking things over the top. I have a very strong personality. I'm not going to deny that. And at this point, you know, I'll take a line out of Petey's book. You know, I'm 40, so I'm probably not going to change anytime soon. And it just is what it is.
No one would expect you to change at this point. You're great and perfect just the way you are. We don't
last
want
year
any.
We Thank would. You. Last Thank year you. We would expect changes.
Oh, big changes. 40.
Yeah. But Mike, I got to say with Camp Hardo, you put all the flags out. We got the W flag out. Now I'm all in on W. I am.
They sent me the flag, Bob. They sent me the flag. They sent koozies for all the boys for the beach. Wow. I mean, you know, we're drinking our drink Havadays in a nice W koozie. It's a nice pairing.
You like those Havadays?
I mean, Bob, we're invested in Havaday.
Correct.
We're invested in Havaday.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, the kids. Just to see the kids, bro. The kids, for whatever reason it was this year, they were so excited for vacation this year. More so than maybe because they're getting older, they remember, you know, things more. And like just to see like their excitement, it's like a Christmas morning type of thing the day we left. And like they just get so excited now, and it's just very, very fun. And Joe, I look forward to when Luca gets a little older and he remembers things, and like when he gets excited, because once they get excited for stuff, it really makes it that much more fun.
It's got to warm your heart seeing the kids just having the having a ball. Yes. Like just having a time. Yes. Yeah, it makes all the work. Because I will say, like, going on a fucking a vacation, like, with the family, it is. It's not, happen? Like, the same as going on a vacation with your spouse or your girlfriend. No.
It wasn't like a weekend in West Palm with Holly a couple weeks ago. I can tell you that. It's not
my God. You add one, like, now we added 125-pound infant to the mix, and the amount of luggage, the amount of extra stuff, it is like traveling with the caravan. It's unbelievable.
Worse, though, when they're babies, because you got to bring the pack and play. You got to bring the fold away crib. You got to bring the stroller. You got to bring the diapers. It's so much worse. When they get a little older, Pete.
Well, I mean, it went as good as it possibly could have. But, like, to Mikey's point, like, we – thankfully, my cousin back home, she gave us a high chair to use, a crib to use, like, all these things that you need. It's like it's like we were traveling, like, we were uprooting our lives and moving permanently, and you have to have some of these things. So to answer your question, it was – I had raging anxiety. Like, the day before leaving, I was like – you know, because we brought the dog, and now the dog's, you know, getting older. I was carrying the dog.
That dog's in tip-top health, though. The dog is in
But he's not able to walk, like, through the airport like before. So I'm carrying the dog. I got the stroller over my, like, we had a strap. You could stroller over my shoulder. Another bag. Nicole's got Luca in her on her chest. She got bags. We were just, like, all hands on deck. And you know what? We made it work, so... I mean, I have to run that back in 2 weeks, which is going to be, you know,
That trip to Vancouver is not exactly a, you know, an up and down around the block flight. Oh. That's a pain in the ass, that trip to Vancouver.
Well, here's the thing, Michael, is like I could have gone from Miami and done a direct flight, but then you're on almost an 8-hour flight. Like, the dog's got to go to the bathroom or Luca's like in, like, so I almost want like that one connection. But even the process of going, getting off the plane, getting on another plane, it's a lot. It's a lot. Now, worked out great. Nicole is so organized. Like, I just try to get myself ready for that trip. She's planning for herself and Luca, packing for both.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're the wives are great with that.
Oh, without Nicole, I'd be fucked.
I mean, I pack my own thing. Everything else just happens. Yeah. I just worry about my own shit. And then I will say this, when I was loading the car up on Saturday to come down, I was motherfucking everybody. I was motherfucking, I was putting like a big thing on the roof of the truck to like put beds in because it doesn't all fit in the trunk, which is outrageous. And I just couldn't configure it to get the zipper closed. I was cursing. I cut my nail wide open. Like, it was a disaster.
Know what you never see anymore is the shell on top of the car. Remember shells, the families shells on top of
the Thule. The Thule was the big one. T-H-U-L-E. The Thule. Shout out Thule.
The family driving with that shell up top, they were having a rough day.
I used to call it the Thule. But I guess
You know what? It might be Thule. Is it Thule or Thule? I don't know. It could be.
I don't know. I know what you're talking about, though. You know what the good thing is, though? Once you touch down, now we have the time difference, too. So, like, going back to the East Coast, you lose 3 hours coming from all the way from the West Coast. So, it's just a long day. Once you get there, you get situated. Then you're like, okay, I'm thrilled to be here. But there's going to be a time very soon, like, our trip is 2.5 weeks. There's going to be a time very soon where I'm start thinking about that flight coming back. And it's like, all right, here we go again, you know. But in the moment, you know, we just had the Aloha. Like, life is very good. We're very happy to be back in Vancouver.
Is the Aloha wrapped up? Is it done?
Yeah, just finished.
Took it home, huh, Pete?
Yeah, he did. It was not my best showing, to say. Like, I was just abysmal. But you know what? Those trips are so special when you get a couple days with your boys just out on the golf course. And like we're saying, we got to find a way to maybe get like Bob and Jet and some of the guys. Like, we got to expand it. The problem is right now we have four guys. So you can't go to six. You have to go to eight. So we got to get another foursome. And then we would have two foursomes. I think it would be a lot of fun to get Bob in the mix.
I would do it, but the only problem that scares me is his initiation process is so rigorous.
As one of the founding fathers, I would
step in. What's the initiation?
Mike, you have to like write an essay. It's like applying to college. He makes you write an essay of why you. His buddy Warren, who we love, to get in. He showed me. He had to write like an essay of why he belongs in the law. So I would love to do it. I think it'd be fun, but that initiation process is rigorous.
That's intimidating. That's intimidating.
I think they want to know that whoever is coming in, and they're not going to be a one and done. Like, this is like, it's like a blood, you know, like it's like a blood oath. Like, you're coming in, you're going to be involved. You're going to make it happen. You're going to be part of a, you know, a prestigious thing that we've been doing. The next year is the 10th year, the 10th annual Aloha. So it would be, Bob, maybe that would be the one to get in. Oh, yeah.
Decade of excellence. Yeah.
And I talk about the field every time, like there's 100 guys playing and it's just four.
Well, that's the best part. That's the best part of the Aloha. That's what the Aloha is. That's the best part.
Yeah, we're playing, all the guys are playing. We're playing Wednesday down here, Wednesday morning early. We play every year too down here. It's nice.
Yeah.
12 guys.
Something about just a golf trip with the boys. It's just, you know, you're just out there just having a good time. Like it's the best, man. It's hard to beat. It really is.
We got to start locking in for this hole in one challenge at the end of the month. Like, that's going to come up on us fast. That's going to be a fucking bruiser. Yeah, I was watching the Nelk guys do their hole in one challenge. Granted, they were doing theirs outside, but it looked like they could end up being there for weeks. So we just got to buckle up from that. And then scheduling wise for us, we didn't even know we could put on the schedule because you just don't know how long you're going to end up being there.
It could get away from us, Bob. I mean, by the way, we haven't exactly been, you know, crushing these other fucking, you know, these other things that we've been trying to do. These every single challenge we've had, we have failed miserably. Now, having Mikey in the mix, I think will be good for vibes and overall just like
vibes and vibes alone. Vibes and vibes alone, it'll be good for you. Yeah.
Now, Michael, are you concerned at all? Like, you've been crushing the diet, like 2-3 days at HQ with, you know,
It's a problem. I'm gonna have to make some smart decisions. I can't eat fast food for every meal. You know, I gotta make some smart decisions, but I'll be all right. I'll survive. I'll be all right.
Because you know that guy up there is the old mastermind.
He's like Mr. Burns. He's like Mr. Burns up there. Smithers.
We did the free throw challenge the other day before we had even shot a single. We had pizza wings that were arrived before a single basketball.
From that place, Bob, the wing place.
He likes the Cole Buck oven.
Buck's coal fire is really good. But people were wrong
those
on Instagram.
Those wings are unreal, dude.
Everybody was like, Bob, those are burnt. No, there's burnt and then there's charred.
They were charred.
Those wings are some of the best wings I've had. They're really good.
Yeah,
really,
that's a big statement. Good. Yeah.
They're
The little wings are a lot more expensive and better than the thick wings, those big meaty wings.
Why is that? Just because the meat's a little more delicate, you think? Or
I think it's tender. It's more fatty if it's the bigger wing. Like that place we were at in Boston, I won't call them out, but when you guys went up just to take a quick snooze, I went to go get those wings. It was those big fatty ones, and you know right away, like you know when it's not gonna hit. Not at Bob Does Bagels.
No,
never. Certainly
not. You know what a nice touch is, Bob, and it's good. It's good. It's a good markup too if you're running a business. Is you could do the thing where you could have the guests request all flats and then you charge them a little extra. But it's a nice little thing if you can get all flats and not do that. Like for me, I'm not a drumstick guy, or you could ask for all drumsticks. Some people are a drumstick only kind of person, you know?
Yeah, and then a little upcharge on the if you do, it's not a bad. And we're all in agreement on the double coated fry, right? Like we all agree there's never been a double coated fry that we're out on, right? The diner style double coated fry.
Yeah, very rare that a fry like that could miss. I don't think it ever misses, really. Yeah.
All right.
I do want to see that menu like once that comes out and kind of get an idea of what we're working with. Just because I'm not trying to like put my staple on, but there's some things I think that would be nice to have. Mikey and I mentioned a good onion ring goes a long way in a diner, man.
Love a good onion ring.
You know, the onion ring on a lower level, but what's nice is going through Burger King, them giving you the option of the fries and the onion ring. Like to have both options is nice. Not to bring this into Burger King, but you know what I mean?
I've actually had a couple of experiences at the King where I ordered fries and you get a rogue onion ring that makes its way.
Yes.
And it's not expected at all. And let me tell you, it is one of the most pleasant surprises you can ask for. Just it somehow makes its way into the little bag, and you're at the end of the fries, and you find one of those rogue rings. So it is so special, man.
It's so fat.
That's really true. That's really true, though. That does happen all the time. That is funny.
You can even do halves. I mean, you could do the half and half where you can get the.
Is that right? You'll do that?
Yeah, you could do
all the king, man.
I had no idea. King, really good, man.
Yeah. Now, Bob, I got to be honest. I am I'm very excited. I'm here in Philly to do something with Arby's, and I'm all in. Like I'm down. Bob's like the face of Arby's. Like, you know, let alone the, you know, the Alex, whatever her name, Cooper chick. Bob is the face of Arby's.
Whoa.
No, I'm just going to be like, call for yeah. You are the face of Arby's right now. I am more than happy to take on the farm system role. Like, let me be the guy who's in the trenches. You know, someone goes, oh, Bob got a fire jet and Joe got the, you know, the fast food location. I'm thrilled. Give me the rock for the farm system. Let me kind of do the dirty work. And then, you know, just give me an opportunity to give me the rock. I'm really excited.
Have you in Philly for the cheesesteak particular?
Yeah, so we're doing I got to go to the Home Run Derby tonight, and then before that we have an Arby's tailgate that we're going to be at, like a meet and greet thing. So I'm thrilled.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to be fun.
I don't understand why that's the funniest thing I've ever said, no, but sure.
No, I think that's good. Mike,
I mean, he's going to the Home Run Derby, which is great that they're setting you up there. And then a tailgate meet and greet. It's just funny because I feel like if someone else did that, and I'm not going to say who, if someone went to a tailgate, you would be breaking balls big time.
I would not, Michael. That's a harsh accusation. Yeah. If it was a sponsored thing that you're doing for like the King, say, for example, I wouldn't break balls. I'd say that's great.
Hey, or
spent a lot of hours in the can. I sweat a lot of blood, sweat, and tears over those fryers, man, for my early years, you know, 15, 16 years old.
Marzetti. I'm at a tailgate for Marzetti.
No.
I'll take a Marzetti.
I'll take two Marzettis.
Maybe Marzettis.
I actually appreciated that post, to be honest. Mikey thought it was a whole lot worse than I actually thought it was. I didn't think it was that bad.
Look, the thing you can never do, like, why I always say that I would give Mikey the ball is the effort is always, look, I've had some posts where the effort's not there for me. I'll be the first to tell you where I wish I could go back. You can never question the effort that goes in.
I agree with that post. There's the sellout post, which is just brutal, but then there's committing to the sellout post, which you can see there's the time and effort put into the sellout, which is actually like somewhat like I would appreciate that. Like, I remember the first DraftKings thing I ever did, it was for the British Open. And I sat down with like a teapot and like a kettle. And I was trying to make it like it was such a clear sellout post, but at least I was trying to integrate it to some extent. So like I appreciate like someone who's like going all in on the sellout. Like Mikey, that I thought that was way better than some of the things we've done, which is so clearly just like, this is just the guy's just, it's just a sellout post, you know?
When I posted that picture yesterday, like most of it was like funny stuff people were saying, but like I got crushed by several people for the W flag. They're like, you took down the Bears flag and the Buckeye flag for W. What a sellout. I'm like, no, I it's a long week. I rotate flags daily. You know, it's not just the same flags every day. You know, this is a whole operation. This different flag goes up every day. So
you know, will W be out of the rotation today?
Oh, Bob, W ain't going out of the rotation, Bob. No, no.
I won't officially say that.
Hey, Bob. No.
I won't officially say that. I mean, W is a great partner, so I won't say that.
Sure. Yeah.
I think we're going to end up golfing with Paul. That's what I really believe.
Yeah, that would be good.
I truly believe.
You know, the Jersey Shore now, the W is the Jersey Shore's North Star now. Like, if you got to find your way, just look to the W.
Yeah, if Dom gets lost, he just looks up, finds that W flag, brings him right back. back, man, dude. Fucking boy, did he kick my ass last week. Yeah. Huh? Great showing from Dom. Really fucking stuck it to me, dude.
I kind of saw that coming, by the way. I mean, Dom is just, he's just a, I will say, Bob, you're losing. It's not like, you're not losing to like a normal, what is Dom, 8 years old now? Seven, eight?
He's still seven.
Okay, but it's not like you're losing to a normal seven-year-old. Like, Dom is like, the guy's naming Marquette the Saudi Arabian flag. Like, it's just not, that's just not normal.
Also, too, you know, him asking for that specific challenge, I knew was in trouble. It's like him asking for the buildings. Like, he knew.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to do the buildings, but the buildings, I don't think that would have been.
Well,
the
building, I would.
That inspired my Ask Bob question this week is the buildings. That was the inspiration for my question this week for Bobby Boy.
Yes.
Give him the old building.
We have a joint theme to ask Bob this week. It's very good. Okay. the kind of man hours and preparation that go into the show behind the scenes that people really don't see, Bob. It is there.
Is it every week that, like, every week do you guys know what each other's asking, or are there some weeks you come into it without it?
Some weeks, but gotcha. A lot of times we touch base before the show just to be like, yeah.
I love to like send Mikey what my question is and then ask him like a percentage.
Like, he does like, that all the time. He's like, give me the
percentage that he's getting it right. Now, I think there's two that we have. I think mine you have a shot at. I think Michael's there's absolutely no chance.
See,
if I'm being honest,
I can't believe that. It's an instantly recognizable thing. I don't know.
The Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by our great friends over at SeatGeek. As always, MLB full swing. No pun intended. Got to get to the local game. I'm going to take Dom to some Yankee games. We're going to get it going at the stadium, but there's only one place I'm going first to get those tickets, and that is, of course, at SeatGeek. SeatGeek, the number one rated ticketing app out there with over 70,000 listed events and over 35 million downloads of the app. That's why it is number one. That's why it stays and plays with the Brilliantly Dumb Show, of course. And again, I show it every time, but the app is easy, as operational as you like. You put in your location and it's going to list out everything for you. Sporting events, concerts, special events, it does not matter. SeatGeek, of course, has you covered. Each ticket that they list on there is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know you're getting a good deal. So look for those green dots. Green, like the traffic light, means go, means good. Red means stop and think about it before you click that buy button. Today, of course, we have a code for you guys. As always, you can use code DUMB10. That's DUMB10. For 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off any tickets with promo code DUMB10. Thank you so much to our friends over at SeatGeek.
Bob, I do want to hear about you. Obviously, you were at UFC. I do want to hear what the live reaction was in that arena when that all went down with Conor. Because up until that fight, I thought the card was good. I mean, I couldn't have eyes on it the entire time because obviously I traveled that day for vacation, so I was a little all over the place at night. But I was following along. I mean, the Pimblett fight right before it, I felt like the crowd was fucking – I mean, that was as live of a dog ever. I don't understand why he was a dog, but I mean, St. Denis is obviously – he's a historical fighter, but – I got to know what it was like when the McGregor, I mean, his walkout. And dude, I just feel like the energy couldn't have been higher and then just fall flat. Like,
well, we got confused. I was talking to you guys about that, the Paddy fight where we went nuts after the McGregor fight. Like we all had Holloway, but it was like nobody, like it sucked. Even the week of like the press conference and stuff, you feel that McGregor's in town. There's an energy in there. That was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then you're right.
Was the walkout nuts?
The back-to-back – Patty the Batty's walkout, I think, could be the greatest walkout maybe of all time. Like, what that does to the – even if you're not a Patty fan, you can't help but start dance. Like, bro, I looked down and Vince Vaughn was doing the Patty. Like, everybody's getting into it. So that was absolutely unbelievable. And then the McGregor thing, like, bro, I'm not the biggest McGregor fan, but, like, seeing that was one of the – you just feel like also, too, like, getting to see McGregor fight would have been the coolest thing. Everybody waited 5 years for this, and you felt it. It's like people, which I don't think is fair at all, people were like mad at him leaving the arena. Like, I've never left an arena like that where everybody was just pissed. It was absolutely deflating.
We've been very fortunate the last, I was saying that in group chat, the last couple fights, I think the last one we all went to was the Gaethje Paddy fight as the main card, which was honestly one of the best fights. When you leave after a fight that good, or I can imagine at the White House event with Gaethje and Topuria, like you leave after that, like the crowd is still buzzing. Like everybody's talking, the vibes are high, gets your night going. I can't imagine the polar opposite where it's just, I think even if you're not a McGregor fan, you would have at least wanted to see how he would have held up for at least a round. You didn't even see a single interaction, nothing. It was just like, the fight was over before it began. It was brutal, you know? So, yeah, tough scene. People, I think, are upset, though, because there's a lot of people speculating that he was hurt before even getting in, which I couldn't tell you if I know if that's true or not. But just tough, man, because that fight could have been so fucking awesome.
When you looked at him when he was getting introduced by Buffer, in my opinion, when you watch him when Buffer's introducing him, He did not have that look like he always had when he was in the octagon. I feel like
I agree
when
he got introduced,
like he looked subdued. He looked like subdued, like he, like in the back of his mind, like he knew maybe that something wasn't right. Was it before? I'm not getting into all that, but man, oh man, what a taking the air right out of the balloon. I can't imagine, Bob, it had to be. But I mean, other than that, it had to be a pretty good time, I would imagine, because the other fights were pretty good.
I said to you guys, like, obviously, we're at the doors at 1:30. Like,
on the dot, was it like no questions asked?
How was the spread?
On the nose. Bread was amazing. Like, it's just such great bonding time with my dad. We just have so much fucking fun. We really do. Like, it's incredible. But I golfed with Gaethje a night or two before, and he's the man there. Like, he is the guy. And I was telling Justin how my dad knows how close we are. My dad's such a big Justin fan that the Ilya fight, my dad couldn't watch it. And I've never seen him like that. He was so afraid of him losing to Ilya that my dad could not watch the last fight. So I was telling Justin about it. We were talking about it. Justin came over to say hello to him. And anytime Justin gets up, he gets mobbed. So he came in the crowd where we're like that one row up back. He sees him. He brought like security with him so that he didn't just get mobbed going in, ran over, hopped over the fence to go say hello to my dad.
What a real one.
It was
your dad in his glory?
Dude, you could see in that video, he's like shaking his hand and talking to him. But then as he hops up, then everybody comes from down, from up, like they came, people came running down and he knew that was going to happen. So for him to do that was so, so cool. But a funny story, I was playing with Justin's brother, who's awesome, looks just like him. They're twin brothers. I talked to him. We were golfing about how just much of a, like, the toughest individual mentally, like, of all time. His hand was still swollen from the fight, from punching.
Really?
Yeah, and he told me, he was like, I was like, what was it like after the fight? He's like, Robbie, after he fought Ilya Topuria on the White House, he has to do all the press and everything. So you're there for like 2.5-3 hours extra. He gets home at 4:30 in the morning. Their friends and family are there. Some of the family didn't make it because they were sleeping, like because he just was going to get home too late. He said like 5-10 minutes after Justin got home, he looks out in the backyard and he's wrestling with their family friends. Like he's full blown wrestling in the backyard after just fighting Topuria, just to go show like, this guy is just wired on another level.
Yeah. He's I mean, I spent one afternoon with him. I could tell you he's not a normal person. I mean,
he would do that.
And when I say that, I mean, like, he's just, he's crazy. nicest, couldn't have been a nicer person. Like, couldn't have been a nicer guy, but he is like, he's nuts. Like, by definition, that would be a hardo. By definition, that is a definition.
I will say this.
Look at how great it's done well for him.
I don't think like in the last two big fights he had was Paddy and he was an underdog and then Topuria, a huge underdog. And at no point did he ever, I never got the vibe that he was ever nervous or like worried. And like when Topuria said something, it really hit me. He was like, I've been doing this so long. Like, what are you going to do to me that someone else hasn't? Like, when you have that mindset, it's just like, you know, you're already in your mind. You're built different. It's just like crazy to see.
True. He also was saying too, and he said this in our interview, but then me and him were talking about it. And I agree. You know, I like Topuria, but Topuria is very confident, border, you know, cocky, you could say. We were talking about that. He's like, if I lost that fight, Topuria would have, you know how Topuria does like the celebration, the roses. Yeah. Like, he's like, he would have been brutal. Like, I would not have heard the end of it. Like, he would have, like, he's like, so in my mind, he's like, I could not afford to lose that fight because I just never would have heard the end of it. He also then was talking about how he's proven everything he's ever needed to prove. Like, so he said this is the first time where he wakes up. The only thing that's different since becoming champion is that he doesn't feel like he has anything to prove anymore because he's done it. And he said that's a huge weight off his shoulders.
It's pretty epic, man.
So, yeah.
Bob, that story, too, that you told me about your pops and Crosby was one of the funniest things that I have ever fucking heard.
That was brutal. That was brutal. Did I tell you that, Mikey?
No. Oh, my God.
Max Crosby comes over to come say hello. I was talking to, like, Taylor Lewan, okay? And I, Joe, you called it. I didn't even think of the second half of it. Max Crosby comes to say hello, and, like, people love seeing my dad there. Like, anybody that goes to the fights, they love seeing him there. So he's very much in his element. But then there's some interactions where he doesn't know the person, and I kind of have to, like, tell him, like, Dad, that's this person or this guy. And Crosby comes over. He's like, you know, we got to do something together. So we're talking. We're talking to his team a little bit, and he's right next to us. And my dad goes, oh, yeah, that's the kicker, right? And I'm like, Dad, and he's right there. So he hears it. And I'm like, oh, Dad, not the, like, Dad, does he look like a kicker? Like, he's the kicker. I'm like, no, Dad, that's Max Crosby. Like, no, that's not Max Crosby. So I know he heard it. He played it cool. But then Joe said, because I told Joe about the interaction, he's like, he's thinking about Mason Crosby.
I turned to my dad. The good old Wizard of Cross.
I was like, Dad, are you thinking about Mason? He's like, that's who I'm talking about. Like, yeah. And it's like, dude, but Dad, look at the guy. Like, he's a monster. Like, you really think he's a kicker?
Should do an AI of Max Crosby trying to kick a field goal.
Guy would some people too, 80 yards. Like, where he's met like five times at UFC, if not more, and they come to talk to him. He turns to me, he's like, who was that? Like, and he like doesn't know.
Well, that's like the classic case of the Kenny Pickett, you know, when he was like, oh, Joe Burrow.
That was great.
Yeah.
He was also a few martinis deep that night, which was funny to see.
Yeah, correct. And nothing like that last fight, though, where that last fight was all
what, in Miami?
Oh my.
Yo, he was in his bag that fight, dude.
He was sticking with the boys shot for shot, though. I got to give him props.
He's a rider, man. He really is. We saw Dana, too. And like,
oh, did he come over?
We talked to him. Yeah, and I think he appreciates, like, he sees us right in the beginning press conference, but I had so much fun with them. It's special to be able to have that. And
that's a great thing to be able to do with your dad, man. It's very, very cool. Very, very cool. Very cool.
Your story the other day summed it up. Like, that's something that, like, you know, like years ago before you had that opportunity, like, you even get a ticket to go to that fight, let alone where you're sitting and the, you know, the backstage area access that you have, like, it would have been thousands and thousands of dollars, probably something that you guys wouldn't do. So the fact that you have the opportunity to do that is making memories with your dad that'll be something that you'll have for a lifetime. It's very special.
It really is. It's really, really cool.
It's all those things, like all those things that we, like, some of us get to do, and like those experiences are just like, those are the things that, like, I really like don't take for granted at all. Like Pulisic, like DMing me about Dom, like with soccer, even in the state that he's in, like after the World Cup. So I spoke to him.
I didn't know that.
I spoke to him after they got knocked out because Dom was in a soccer camp for a week. He did it last year. He did it this year. He's very into soccer. So they had a picture. They were the soccer camp was the week of the last game of the group stage, but they didn't send this picture out to the parents or anything until after. And they sent a picture of all the kids in USA gear. They made them all wear USA gear for one day and be like cheering on the USA team. So I sent him a message. I was like, I know you guys, you know, I know how, you know, you're down and out right now, like with the injury and everything. But just so you know, I was like, these kids, like, they really, really were so into it. And it's all they were talking about, which it was. And he's like, dude, Dom looks like a beast, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's just like a fucking, like, some of these guys are just class guys, bro. And it's like, these opportunities are like something you don't take for granted. Cause it's like, Dom can't comprehend that's happening. Like, he doesn't understand the magnitude of that. And then one day when you're able to explain, it's just gonna be that much more special. And Bob, especially for you too, with your dad, like, with that kind of stuff, for him, the amount that he loves to do that, like, that's like, I don't even know, like, it's a very hard thing to describe. Like, when someone loves something like that and you're able to do that for them, it's like, it's not a normal thing. So it's very, very cool.
It would be the equivalent of like Mikey being a huge Bears fan and then Dom getting him like field access, like on the sidelines, like that. You're providing your dad with like something that he probably never imagined. He like be sitting page side. It's just something that it's like, you could be a fan of something and then you could experience it to the nines, which is what he's getting every single time, which is probably why he wants to go to every single car.
He appreciates it so much. Like, every time we're at the fights, he'll turn to me and be like, I'm thank you so much. Like, I'm so happy. Like, he's so appreciative of it too. It's not like he goes and takes it for granted either. Like, he himself, he doesn't stop thanking me. It's really special.
The best part of all this stuff that you guys do, that we do some of it, is being able to bring other people into it to experience it is the ultimate high of highs. Like, when Bob, when you and Joe couldn't come to that last UFC in Newark at the Prudential because our schedules, and I was able to bring Mike Coogs, and like the level of to which his mind was blown and the appreciation that he had. And I know he texted you, like, it's just that to me is like, it's so much better than yourself experiencing it. You know what I mean? Cause like, you meet these people and it's great and all, but when you bring somebody in and their level of appreciation is like, their mind just is blown. That's the really cool thing about the opportunities we have.
It is. My dad's high school friend, they were like lifelong friends, wanted to come into town. He's not a UFC fan, but his daughter she like trains, boxes, jiu-jitsu, is obsessed with the UFC. So we took her to the weigh-in and the press conference, and to see this, her mind was blown. Like, she's obsessed with Alex Pereira, and then Pereira comes walking. Her mind was blown. So you're right. Bringing people into it is very neat.
The press conference with McGregor there had to be a lot of fun.
Oh, amazing, yeah. Dude. That was probably the best part of the whole thing with McGregor.
I know. That's what sucks. It's just this big, crazy hype. You're so excited. And it's like, just to see it happen for everybody that even watched, that was so excited, that waited all the time. It just was such a drag.
You knew something was wrong immediately. As soon as he threw that first kick, something seemed off. And I think the whole, like, I could only imagine, like, I was watching on my phone with like a couple of the guys. We were like, what is going on? It had to be like weird in the building, like when that happened. Like, it had to be
And then he got up, and then you're like, oh, okay, he's okay. And then you see it again, and then Holloway didn't even want to hit him. It just, oh man.
Sucks even more when you got money on him.
I know. Dude, I'm so bad with that too, because like, Mikey, you did really good. I was cleaning up and I'm not getting these picks. The only picks I gave two picks to you guys that I think lost. And I'm telling you guys that I'm cleaning up and I'm not getting the picks all over to you. There's just a lot going on.
The reception at those at the UFCs is very, very difficult to deal with. It's like you're putting your bets in and out. I felt bad. You don't want to be on the phone either, because you miss. If you put your head down at UFC for 5 seconds, a guy can get knocked out. It's crazy. Oh, so it's like, bro, you can't really take your eyes off the action for too long.
Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of action, there is a lot. We're here in the summer, and you know how bad bugs could be. Bugs can ruin a night. It can ruin an evening if you're hosting, whatever it may be. That's why you have to trust the fine folks over at Pesty. A Pesty kit includes pro-grade pesticide that's the same stuff the pros use. Sprayer, mixing bag, gloves, and instructions that you can complete in less than 10 minutes. Easy and fast application that keeps the bugs away. With Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. With the DIY kit, there are no strangers in your house or appointments to make time for. Pesty is is kid and pet friendly. The pesticides they ship are fully registered and have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country. If the bugs don't go away, you'll get a full refund. You'll get your money back. It's a kit that completely eliminates bugs. Get Pesty and don't have to worry about the bugs. Keep bugs out of your summer sanctuary with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/dumb for an extra 10% off your order today. It's Pesty, PESTIE.com/dumb for an extra 10% off. Let them know that we sent you. Moving right along. Petey, you're going to rip an ad, and then we'll get into the buy or sell.
Yeah, the Brilliant Dumb Show is also brought to you by our friends over at Keeper. Keeper is a password manager. Create strong, unique passwords for all your accounts. If you're like me and you're trying to sort a password, you can't keep track of what passwords you have for which accounts. Keeper's going to get that ready for you. They're going to store them securely in one place and allow you to log in automatically across all devices so you never have to remember, guess, or worry about your login credentials ever again. Right now, Keeper's offering our listeners 60% off of family plans at keepersecurity.com/DUMB. The offer is for our podcast listeners only, so you have an opportunity to get in and get in there quickly. That's right, keepersecurity.com/dumb, 60% off. Personal and family plans, make sure you use our link so they know we sent you. Keeping the passwords all secure. That's right. Keeper here for you.
Nice, Petey. And now, Mikey, I'm going to send it over to you for the buy or sell. What did you see that you liked? What did you see that you did not like? This is Mikey V, buy or sell.
Yeah, I know last week I bought the World Cup. I'm gonna kind of double down on it. The final four, obviously today's releasing, you have Spain against France, which to me is the greatest matchup of the entire World Cup. The two best teams, in my opinion, I think they're the two best teams. You have the top 1, 2, 3, 4 ranked FIFA ranked teams playing in the final four. People are complaining about Argentina and they're complaining about the referees and how it's fixed and this and that to assist Argentina. But did anyone really want to see Switzerland play England in a semifinal? This is the ultimate final four, in my opinion, outside of getting like a Brazil, Italy, Germany. These are four of the all-time powerhouses of soccer. I don't think you could have asked for a better final four that you're going to get on Tuesday and Wednesday with France and Spain, followed by England and Argentina. It's going to be so fucking good. The coverage has been... sometimes with these major events, the coverage is they put the games on weird streaming networks for like Euro Cup and stuff like that. All the games were easily accessible. The coverage has been great. The celebrities that have been going to these games, like I saw Mick Jagger at the England game the other day.
Oh,
like, it is wild the level of celebrity they're getting. Brad Pitt at the fucking game. Like, it's I think everyone's all in on it, and it's really good. Today, France, Spain, it's going to be a great game. I hope when this comes out, it'll be a few hours before it starts, and we'll see who gets to the final. But I'm buying this final four, man. I don't think you could have asked for a better final four for the World Cup.
Who do you like, Mikey, like coming out on top?
I like Spain before the tournament, but I think France is in the best form. I don't think anybody is – they look to me like the number one team. I think Spain will give them a problem, but I'd be remiss to say that France is not going to win the game. I would say France on the one side. England has come on like a bat out of hell. Jude Bellingham has been unbelievable for them the last two games, 4 goals. So if I had to put money on it, I would say England and France. I have a future on Spain and a future on France. So either way, I have a little, you know, skin in the game for the final, no matter what. I'm rooting for Spain, but I don't think I could see. I just, France is going to be tough, man. France is going to be so tough to beat.
I could see a rematch of last year, too, or the last World Cup France and Argentina.
Could be crazy.
So
England always traditionally chokes in the big spots and big tournaments. We'll see this year. I mean, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. They come so close so many times and they don't make it over the hump. Would be cool to see them, I think, just for their fans, but we'll see.
It was just sad when U.S. got knocked out, because then it's like another 4 years. Like, granted, you could watch, you know, Premier League and whatnot, but like, it's like, all right, well, there it goes. Like, that's what made it so sad, is just that it was such a fun ride. And then it's like, us, like, soccer now is just kind of like, you know, gone for a while. It was so much fun. It was so sad to see it
You know, wow. I could sell the one phrase that I hear every time the U.S. gets knocked out of the World Cup. It's like, well, you know, I feel like people always say the same thing. They're like, it's not like, oh, the U.S., we're getting there. They always use the same thing. Like I forget the phrase, but it's always like, we're getting there or we're on our way or something like that. Like, it really, if you follow them, it's so disappointing, man. It really is.
It was because an awful finish,
I thought,
yeah,
this team really had the sauce. I really thought that. I didn't think they'd win the whole thing, but I really thought they could make a run to like the semi, because I just thought they had really, really good players. But I think Christian not being 100%, and it was obvious he was not 100% from the jump. Like, he just was not. And that is their driving force. Yes, Bellingham was unbelievable with his goals. Yes, Weston McKennie on the, up the wing. He was probably the best player, I think, for them, top to bottom. Weston McKennie, he was great. But the goalie and Tim Ream, I mean, that was tough, man. It was tough. And it was disappointing, man. It was disappointing.
Well, we watched the first game, and Pulisic was like, it was like a firecracker. Every time he had the ball, was like shooting up. It was so wild to watch. By the way, that was against a Paraguay team that beat Germany, and they just looked
by the way, pushed France to the brink, only lost on a penalty.
They looked so much better, and I think the momentum of being in the home crowd was amazing. So I agree with you, Mikey. I thought for sure that I didn't think for sure, but I thought very likely we would beat Belgium and maybe even make it through the. I didn't know if we would beat. I don't know if we would have
Spain. Spain would have been a very tough draw. But again, like I thought they looked so good, and I was like, man, maybe this team, they're scoring. Like U.S. teams, like they'll grind you out a little bit. This team was scoring goals. They were fun.
Yeah.
You know, off free kicks, like when do you see U.S. players like off the free kicks like that? Two free kicks in a row, back to back games, like just really cool. And it is sad that it's over, Bob, for them, because it is like you got to wait another 4 years if you don't really follow like the other cups and things like that. And that's tough.
I could be off on this because, like, obviously I don't watch it a ton, but like something that bothers me, it feels like the past, I know they have to call it like they see it now, and it's a tough spot to be in. It feels like some of the past players are such haters. Like it feels like
this Carly Lloyd. What was the Carly Lloyd thing?
Yeah, about? Or like Landon Donovan, like coming at Pulisic, like, bro, I understand you have to critique the game. But to me, it goes beyond. It feels like there's like this bit of jealousy of like, oh, when I played or when I did it. Like, I don't know. There's something about that just really sat the wrong way with me. That really pissed me off. I know we're friends with Pulisic, so obviously we're going to have his back. But like, there was something about it that I just didn't think sat well.
The only ex-American player, because Alexi Lalas sometimes for me too is like he's brutal to listen to sometimes too. The only one I like really is Clint Dempsey, because I feel like Clint Dempsey is very like what you see is what you get. He just tells you, like, Donovan has that, like, my
chip
soccer
on his
knowledge
shoulder.
Is, a little bit, and the Carly Lloyd thing. I mean, what? I the women's U.S. soccer team, I understand, I believe, without saying anything crazy, that they hold a little resentment in the pay thing. Like they're which rightfully so, because they've been World Cup champions multiple times. And I think there's a level of resentment that the men's team still draws all the attention, still gets all the fanfare when the World Cup starts. And I think that plays into it a little bit. But the guy was hurt. It's like, if he wasn't physically injured and he just didn't show up, that's a totally different scenario. But this guy was hurt before the tournament. He made the recovery. He came in, like Joe said, the first game he looked great. He got hurt again. Like, if a guy gets hurt, he gets hurt. Like, you can't jump a guy.
Did she go at him? I didn't hear what she.
She went at him. She went and then doubled down.
Also, too, they'll be like, you know, I would have played if my leg was fucking. But at the same time, after he got hurt, he was playing. It gets to a point where if you're so hurt, you're in better hands having a fresh leg.
You're detrimental to your team. Yeah.
That's correct. He couldn't move. I mean, he couldn't move at that point. He couldn't run. Like, if you can't run, you can't play. I mean, what the fuck? It's the same thing. How do you think that Belgium, Peter Courtois, Joe, when he came out of the game for Belgium, he couldn't play anymore. You'd think the guy wanted to come out. He was in tears on the sideline and maybe cost his team the game against Spain because that new goalie spilled the fucking game. So, I mean, like,
I had the under there. The guy couldn't stop a rebound. Brutal.
Cutsy came in, dude. We were watching the game. It was me, Squirtle, and
Jet. The Spain game?
Dude, no, U.S. versus Belgium.
Oh,
he
yes,
comes yes, in, dude, and just takes over. Like, comes in, immediately screams. He's like, oh, come on. And he's rooting for the wrong team. We're like, Cutsy, that's Belgium. Screaming at the TV, pointing. And then,
well, Belgium, so when have they ever worn white jerseys? They're traditionally all
jerseys. Did I didn't like those jerseys.
The cotton stunk. Candy colored jerseys.
Bubble gum bullshit.
Stunk. I'll give you that. Those stunk. But then, right after, he's like, it's all right, we're gonna get it all back. Like, the Padres, my guy is saying the Padres. I didn't take it because I'm not staying up for a Padres Diamondbacks game, but I'm
going for him.
I wake up the next morning, I was like, let me check how the Padres did. Diamondbacks won 8-0, and that was like get back. Like, from the time he walked
baseball
in, he
stinks,
just
man.
Baseball's the worst.
Regular season baseball is the worst, bro.
You know, I will say this, Mikey. The one brilliant thing the World Cup has done is it has bridged this dead zone of no sports.
Yes,
because normally this is now the baseball dead season. There's and again, I have nothing against baseball. It's fun to watch. I'm here at the Home Run Derby, but I will say it's like it to try to bet on baseball. It is the hardest sport if you're trying to bet game after game in a series. It could go any which way. There's no rhyme or reason to it. You could do the analysis of the starting pitchers.
The pitchers, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's impossible. It's fucking impossible. That Padres-Diamondbacks series, the one night the Diamondbacks looked like they couldn't be stopped. The next night, they look like they didn't know what field they were on. Yeah. It's so hard. So the World Cup really did bridge that gap. And it gave us something to root for. Now it means we have to wait less time until football starts, which is so awesome.
You know what it is too with the World Cup? It's like every game, you know that these guys are going all out. Like there is no reserve. Like they're not holding anything back really. Maybe in the group stages, if a team knows they're advancing to the knockout, the last game they'll pull back. But regular season baseball, I mean, look. Bob, you played baseball. Like, if you had to play 162 games, are you really that mentally clocked in at game number 72?
Well, our no. Yankees fantasy camp by day 4, I couldn't move.
This is what I'm saying.
Well, you're down.
Currency on that is tough. It's tough.
Well, if a team's down 8-0 after 5 innings, like, how much fight is the other team going to – like, they're going to fucking try to push it to 10, 11 innings by chipping back? It's just like the game's over.
Yeah.
I do think they need to go down on games. I think 160 is just fucking crazy.
Insane.
They got to go down. All right, there's Mikey, and then – I'll go. We'll let Joey D cap it off. I guess a kind of obvious buy. We already talked about it, but the coolest thing of all time, Patty the Batty, the new face of the UFC.
And he's amazing.
He is like, so when we were at the press conference, his videographer comes over. She said, I'm Patty the Batty's videographer. We'd love to get you to do something with you guys. I said, for the Burnley Dumb Show would be perfect. So that would be fucking awesome. But yeah, I just think he's the new face. He's got the greatest walkout. He's so fucking funny. And now you get to see him pack on 30 pounds.
He could do a food challenge with us on the Brilliant Dumb Show for all you know.
I'd like to wrestle him and just see how quick he can make me tap out. He'd probably tap me out in 50. I would say he'd tap me out in 20. Once he puts the weight on, he would tap me out in 25 seconds, maybe. Maybe less.
He does exactly what we would do in his situation of, you know, he trains for months and months and you're on this strict regimen and to build up to the fight. He goes, he wins the fight. You release all that energy and then he will go for like 2 straight weeks, if not a month. You'll see him in a month and he'll gain 30 pounds and then comes to the fight and then he trims it down and he's so fucking funny. Everything he says is just fucking hilarious.
He was eating a piece of pizza on the freaking press conference. Like he was talking about like this donair kebab that he wanted and it was closed because it was after 11. He was pissed off. He is awesome. I can't get enough of him. Bob, I sent you ESPN and Paramount. They do a really cool job of getting behind the scenes footage that they put on Instagram. And they had a clip of him in the tunnel like as his music's coming in and you can see him getting ready to walk out. It's fucking electric. And we got the pleasure of watching him come out and seeing the fans go nuts against the Gaethje fight. So your pops and you must have been just on the edge of your seat. And for him, the way that he won it within a minute against an absolute fucking dynamite fighter like St. Denis, who's one of our favorites, Bob, it was unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking, oh my God. And that he's no slouch. Like, he is really, really good. So yeah, bye. I just think he is truly the new face of the UFC. And we'll head over to the D-Man. D-Man, what do you got for us?
So I also had Patty on my list, but I'm going to buy something that's Canadian. And I think it's, you know, something, one of the things I think that Canada really hit the nail on the head with, and I think I would like the United States to take, you know, a little bit of note. I'll take a little bit of, you know, of an observation here and maybe bring this over. The Caesar cocktail. Now, the last time I sold a cocktail on the Brilliantly Dumb show, it was the Carajillo. And I got people saying I had never heard of this. I'm not sure about it. Great. And I received a lot of love and support. Now, you like, should. The Carajillo supporters, they'll tell you, the espresso martini is still good. The Carajillo is a different beast. The Caesar cocktail is so much better than the Bloody Mary. It is not even close, in my opinion, to the point where, like, I am so excited to order one when I go to a restaurant to go. It's the Clamato juice they use instead of the plain tomato juice. It's got an extra kick. It tastes better. It's got more zing to it. I am all in on it. It is fucking awesome. I was on the golf course the other day, and the buddy who was hosting us, he's like, would you like a spicy Caesar? I hadn't had one in ages. We got him out to the course. I was done this thing in probably less than 3 minutes flat. It was so fucking good. Bob, I'd love you to try one. I don't know. A lot of places don't do it in the States. That's the problem. So I'm not saying to get rid of the Bloody Mary. I'm just saying,
so what bring is it? On some.
It's essentially the same thing as a Bloody Mary. It's vodka. Instead of the tomato juice, it's Clamato juice that they put in. The Worcestershire, the Tabasco, spicy green bean, or some a pickle or something like that. I mean, the garnishes vary. And it is unbelievable, especially like a morning cocktail, Michael, like get your day started, like early on, early day. It's fucking amazing. And you just can't find them in the States. It's very rare to find them. So
I think you've built enough respect with the Carajillo that I think you will have people, because if more people knew about that Carajillo, like I would have had it last night. I had espresso martini last night. I would have had it if I thought about it. I also just don't have the balls to order it, 'cause sometimes they don't know what you're talking about, but he's gained enough respect in that realm that I would try the Caesar, and I'm not a big.
So would I. I just feel like I've never heard anyone order it, so I would be concerned about that. That's
very rare to find in the States. I mean, in Canada, that's what we have. But Clamato juice, it sounds disgusting. It's something that, like, I would be like, oh, that's weird. But I'm just telling you the concoction, the way that it's put together, it just works, and I'm buying it. I'd love to see more places in the States take note, start bringing that Clamato juice in, because it's a fucking game changer, man.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Let's head on over now, fellas. We're going to keep it on moving. Let's head on over to the Ask Bob segment. We got hyped up a little bit. Mikey, over to you.
Yeah. Let's tell you who the Ask Bob segment is brought to you by this week, Bob. And that's our dear friends. You know them well. Over at Quince, that's right. One thing I love about the summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little bit more relaxed. Find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere pieces again and again. And Joey D can attest to this. He's worn some of these pieces. Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on in the summer. Upgrade your rotation needs starting at just $34. Everything at Quince is priced 50% to 80% less than similar brands, okay? So how could you go wrong with that? And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials. So make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/dumb for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, now available in Joseph's native Canada too.
That's great.
That's QUINCE.com/dumb for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/dumb.
You guys will actually appreciate that. They are great shirts. I just got a text. You know who's entering Bob HQ as we speak to do a little work in Bob HQ?
Who's that?
That would be Cornelius Closet.
Cornelius, man. Guy's built differently.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
He just redid my entire garage, Michael. He redid the garage, built in a little in-home gym there for Nicole and I to use. And I was showing Bob, which Lord knows I need to use. I was showing Bob kind of what he had done. And Bob's like, he's like, whoa, that looks really good. Do you think we could get that in HQ? I'm like, you bet your sweet ass we could. So we made the I made the connection, and lo and behold, we got Cornelius in the actual Bob HQ.
I'm excited.
What was the other one? Ewing and Ewing still has to make an appearance.
Oh, Ewing and Ewing.
EA has been pushing us to our producer to sell shirts. He's got like funny like shirts that are, if you know, you know, for the Brilliantly Dumb show, which I think it'd be cool. Like if I saw somebody out in the wild like Mike, if you go to the shore and you see somebody in a Cornelius Closet shirt, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. So what we're targeting the start of next year to start selling Brilliantly Dumb Show merch, which would be so cool. Like simple Brilliantly Dumb Show shirts, but then also the, you know, Ewing and Ewing shirts. He's got some funny ones. EA can put it on. I don't mind for the YouTube fans for them to see like Cornelius Closet shirts. Brilliantly Dumb Show merch could be on the way. But yeah, Cornelius has gotten the nod. I'm very excited for him.
What do you got him doing in there? What is he? What's the plan?
So for the golf simulator, you know how like there's just the bag and clubs everywhere? He's building like a thing to put like the bag and the clubs right there on the simulator. I'll see what he does there and then give him some more work.
He does a great job. All the shelving, he does custom shelving. He builds everything. He paints it. He
builds it himself.
He does everything by hand. He comes with the fucking big trailer on his truck. He's got all of his supplies. The guy's he works seamlessly, doesn't ask a question. You tell him what you need, he'll update you once he's done. It's amazing. You're gonna love him.
I'm excited. The only thing I couldn't give him, he wanted to do a 2v2 on Bob the Sports. Breath. I said,
No, he did.
And then he texted me, he's like, sorry, dude, I probably shouldn't have asked about that. I was like, no, you're good, don't worry about it. But let's see.
Miss
100%
of the shots you don't hit.
I'm excited to see what Cornelius has. I respect the hands-on type people like that. Like it's impressive. Like just a dog. So shout out Cornelius. Excited what he could do. Petey, good rec there. Let's get on into the Ask Bob. You guys got me a little nervous for this after hearing, you know, what you guys were saying before, but it's over to you guys, whoever you want to start.
I mean, we both have pictures to show Bob. So I think like if you could just step away maybe for like a minute and then we'll go through it and then come back and then
I'm going to go deep. I'm going to.
Lord knows you got the room for it. You could go as deep as you want. All right, Michael. You got your picture?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the photo I'm asking Bob. It's historical landmarks.
Like, yes.
So mine is the Roman Colosseum. I think he's going to get that. Mikey's got Stonehenge here out in England. That one, I think there's no shot in hell.
How could he not get Stonehenge?
Bro? I'm telling you right now, Mikey, I would be shocked. And you know what? If he does, I'll go hand up and I'll say kudos to Bob.
All right.
The Colosseum, to me, if he doesn't get that,
he's got to get the Colosseum.
So I think we start with the Colosseum first.
That's fine.
We start with the easier of the two, because if he gets that one, then his, you know, confidence will be built up, and then, you know, then we bring in yours. But man, it's going to be tough. If he doesn't get mine to start, it's going to be a rough showing. I don't think he's even watched Gladiator. I'm going to ask him. I don't think he's watched Gladiator.
Don't ask him before you show.
No, after the fact, I'm going to ask him. But I don't think he's watched it because, like, you know. All right, Bobby. All right, Bob, you ready?
Yeah, D-Man starting.
Yeah, yeah. So this week's Ask Bob is to name me these historical landmarks.
Historic segment. Landmarks.
Historic landmarks. And mine is the easier of the two, so we're going to kick it off with mine. And Bob, I would like you to name this well-known classic historical landmark.
That's the Colosseum.
Oh, right off the cuff. Okay, that's good. That's the one I thought you would get for sure. Okay. Mikey's a little bit harder now. I don't know. I don't have faith in you in this one, Bob, and I'm hoping you're proving me wrong.
By the way,
that was great out of the gate.
With all due respect to the Colosseum, like cousin Kyle has a wedding we're going to in Rome and, you know, bouncing around Italy. I have zero interest in going around.
Bob, it's amazing. You got to see it. It's unbelievable.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Maybe that's disrespectful.
Have you, by the way, have you watched Gladiator?
Bits and pieces.
Oh, Bob. Bob, it's one of the best movies ever. Watch Gladiator before you go to the Colosseum, and you will have such a profound appreciation once you're there. You got to do it. You owe it to yourself, especially if you're going to be visiting the site. Gladiator from start to finish. It's a fucking amazing movie.
Disrespectful. Or like, you know, the 16th Chapel. Like, I don't have much.
The Sistine Chapel.
The Sistine Chapel. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, you know what? Don't go.
The 15 others weren't good. The 16th one really stuck.
Go find a nice gelato stand or something like that, and go rate gelato or something like that. Don't go to Michelangelo's.
My God, the 16th. It's Sistine.
Oh my God. There's your ass, Bob, right there.
Oh man, you're right. But Bob, even that place is unbelievable. Yeah, there's fucking fresco paintings that you look at when you're there. I'm telling you. You look at, and it's hard to fathom that a human being by himself, like Leonardo or Michelangelo,
hanging from a fucking
ceilings. It is insane. It's insane.
So that's why the pyramids would get me, just to look at the pyramids.
Oh, this is wild.
Yeah.
A lot of people think the pyramids were built by aliens. A lot of people.
Michael.
Yeah. You don't believe that, do you, Mikey?
You look they tried to
break down how it would be physically possible to build it, and they don't have answers as to how they could have built it. So it's like, it's very hard to fathom how they're moving stones that weigh tons in a time where they had no machinery. Like, it's just, it makes no sense. And the way the pyramids are aligned to the stars is, like, they also said that, like, the trigonometry and geometry of all of the way it's aligned is, like, so vastly beyond the science that was available then. Like, they don't comprehend how it was possible.
What about the Sphinx of Giza? Like, it's fucking, like, how? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
It's speaking of which, here's another landmark. This is another.
All right.
Bob, I think he's going to get it. Here you go.
No chance.
He knows it, though. He's seen it.
I've definitely seen it.
He's seen it, Joe.
Do you know? Okay, do you know where it is? Where it's located?
You don't want to know. It's in my head.
Well, I mean, this is the Ask Bob. Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Like, looking at that, it looks like. Oh man, I got no. Fuck.
What comes to your mind?
I see that. I see New Zealand. Is that off? Yeah. Sounds like that.
I could see how you could get to there, though. I could see how
you know,
get
it look, it's got a little New Zealand. It's got a New Zealand vibe. I have seen it. I have no idea. And I hate when I can't even give you guys a guess.
Okay. Well, we were looking for that was Stonehenge. Stonehenge. Would you have ever gotten there? Have you ever heard Stonehenge?
not really, no.
Okay.
I hate when I can't even give you guys, when I don't even have a guess for you guys. The worst part of the Ask Bob was the 16th Chapel.
That could be a shirt from fucking the Brilliant Dub Show. Yeah, EA could start with just have the chapel and the Roman numerals XVI, Mikey.
What's gonna bother me, Joe, is like when your parents see that, they're gonna
be like, oh, my dad's gonna be howling. Oh,
my dad'll send me a text. he's been avidly watching the show and he's very entertained. Yeah. He's obsessed. Well, he's Joe really is like the draw for him.
I totally get it. I totally get it. Yeah. Same thing with Jensen. I was asking Jensen because Jensen works on the Bob to Sports. His dad, I was like, what does his dad, you know, think about everything? He's like, well, you know, we didn't watch too much of it. Now that he's in, he's just fascinated by Joe. I was like, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I take no offense to that. I am too. All right, well, that sucks. I'm sorry to not even give you guys.
You got Coliseum right out of the gate, so that's good.
Yeah, I had to get that one.
I said to Mikey, if you didn't get that one, that would have been tough because that was, whoa.
See Mike? That goal? Yeah, that goal. You got to watch those seagulls, man. They go after
everything. Thing's looking for that W flag. That's what it's doing.
Yeah, it's right over there.
Look at this. Okay.
Oh yeah. Real nice.
Now, how long from start to finish is the process of getting there, getting set up? Is that an hour-long process?
So because of the show today, we went down a little early, me and the fellas. We were down there at 10 a.m. this morning setting up the tents. It took when we have the right amount of guys, when we have good men out there, it's only like a 15-minute process when we have the right guys out there. You don't have the right guys, it could take a little longer. But these are veterans. These guys know exactly what they're doing, you know. Four other tents are up today. We got an extra tent, so we got a lot of shade, a lot of coverage. It'll be nice. It'll be very nice.
He talks about it like it's a covert mission for like some SWAT to like go. When we have a good man on our side, like they're setting up.
We need more good men out there. We do.
What's your thoughts on eating on the beach, Mikey? Do you guys take the sandwiches to the beach and all of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make wraps in the morning at the townhouse. Make some nice wraps, and then there is a beach. Like a beach stand with hot food every day. They do like a taco of the day. Yesterday was like swordfish. Very nice.
Ooh.
So I'll go there. I'll bang that because G-Baby inevitably wants like a popsicle, like a SpongeBob popsicle or something like that. So I'll walk over there. I'll grab something else from there. But yeah, we bring wraps down, snacks, all that.
My problem is just you bring the sandwiches on the beach and it is nice. Like I think sandwiches either by the beach hit harder, but if you get one little speck of sand anywhere near that sandwich, the sand just finds a way to crawl in and it leads to just a bad, bad experience, man. It just gets a little dicey with it. You know what I mean?
You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. You gotta know what you're doing packing. You gotta watch.
Yeah. All right, boys, should we get into the top five then?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get on into our top five. Now, I will say the change, like Mikey was way behind. We changed to EA's top fives, which I think have been more entertaining top fives, hands down. It's a better way to go. Mikey has found a ton of success in those style of top fives. Would you agree with that, Michael?
I mean, yeah. I've won a couple. I don't know if it's
you're red hot.
The top five or what it is. I think everybody gets hot now and then and cold now and then. So it's like anything else. But, you know, I don't know. I think they've been good. I think the top fives have been good.
Joe, who came in second, me or you? Do you remember?
I would need to look. Hold on.
I know Mikey took it home again.
Okay, here it is. So I think I was seeing
who had 4th of July beer and
Bob did. Play. Bob did. He beat me by like me and Bob were neck and neck, and Mikey beat us by quite a bit.
Well, you know what? I don't think with this. Okay. Well, let's get down to business. This is going to be another EA top five. Shout out EA. Top five worst animals to have as a pet.
Yeah.
So top five worst animals to have as a pet. Mikey, where would you like to select, sir?
I don't really think it matters here, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess I'll go third. I'll go third. I don't think it matters.
Guess I'll go first, but I don't think it matters either. I don't think there's like a standout.
Does anybody have a pen? I'm not in my normal.
I got you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got a nice hotel pen?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Love he probably, hotel. In that suite, he's probably got the Fulgoris Nocturnus.
Oh, the Fulgoris Nocturnus. I was going to say, it could be a Mont Blanc. You know, you never know.
Oh, man.
All right, I'm going to start out, and I'm going to go with lion.
Yeah, nobody wants a lion. It'll eat you.
Yeah, yeah. I think D-Man's going to throw some animals that you haven't heard before.
I'll start off with the porcupine.
Good one. Good one. Nobody wants.
I mean, you can't even pick it up. Yeah, it gets quilled every time. I mean, 100%. Like how good is a pet? You can't even touch it.
100%. 100%. Yeah, give me the skunk. I'm going to take
that's a good
skunk.
One. Yeah.
And then I'm going to take an elephant. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, you can't house an elephant. Baby elephants, very cute baby elephants, but not so cute when they're going to outgrow your house.
Yeah, I'll go with the a saltwater crocodile. That thing's just going to be an absolute problem.
A saltwater crocodile.
Well, they're fresh different. Water, they're more fresh water saltwater. Baby. Or just let's just go crocodile. Can we just go crocodile?
We can.
I will say crocodiles are so much more vicious and scary than the alligator, man. They are like they're fucking
longer,
very scary cousin. Oh my god,
they do. They are freakier, man.
When you watch the fucking clips of like those wildebeest going through, and they're just one. Man. That comes down. Yep. Yeah, I hate them. I have no need for a fucking crocodile on Earth. As far as I'm concerned, aside from the Birkin bags that they make when you
whoa,
take them down.
Whoa. Now we're going to get PETA all over our ass.
I got no need for a crocodile. They kill or alligators killing dogs and Birkin killing people. Bag. I'll tell you what, crocodile leather, it's different beasts. I just said that
he's
to
gonna,
see how you're
guys. Gonna get
that to see your guys' reaction.
I would love to see Joey D in a croc belt, like a real croc skin belt.
Oh,
like
I think he dog. Has. I think he
I don't. Has. I don't have a croc skin belt. Are you out of your fucking mind, Bob? Bob is so full of shit. I do not have a croc skin belt. Get out of here now. You know who does have one? Is Bryson? He's got those golf belts.
Oh, he does.
Those are fucking sick. Yeah, man!
Just because he doesn't have one, Bob, don't mean he don't want one. You know what I'm saying?
Give me the crocodile.
Alligators or crocodiles? Crocodiles definitely more vicious. But like being in Florida, man, like I even in looking for houses, I don't want to be by the water because, bro, I've seen videos of fucking alligators getting up these little fences. Obviously, it's so rare, but like, and then if you have a little dog, I've heard of just horrible things that I don't want to even be by the water. Scary shit. I'm going to go with the great white shark. I don't want a great white shark. And then I'm going to go, these things are the scariest. And you see them when they eat them. They eat a person or something. They have a big lump in them. The anaconda is one of the scariest. A fucking anaconda scares the living shit. Remember the movie Anaconda?
Sure. Yeah. Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, J-Lo. Yeah, very good.
I've seen that, but not the Gladiator.
Bits and pieces.
That's insane. To say bits, what bit and what piece have you seen?
That's what somebody says when you ask him, did you see that news story about what happened in Toronto last? Bits and pieces of it. Bits and pieces I got of it. It's not about best picture.
Bob sat down to Gladiator, watched maybe a snippet of the first war, which is the first scene out of the gate, and then fast forwarded to the end to where like he's dying. Like what bit and piece? I would be so curious to know that you've seen. It's unbelievable.
All right, back to Joseph. Right,
so it's me now.
Yes, it is.
I'm gonna go. I'm trying to think here. I'm going to go with the jellyfish. The jellyfish, you try to grab, again, it'll electrocute you on touch. You can't,
things that you can't touch. You can't, like, how are you going to transport it? Fucking jellyfish, it'll electrocute the shit out of you, man. That's
I knew this list would be perfect for Jell because I knew we were just going to hear some shit. I knew this was going to be good.
I mean, it's delivering. Just think about it. Like, you can't even touch the fucking, it's just brutal.
I'm going to go back to back. Again, I'm going to keep it with the animals. They look really cute as babies, but it's a horror show. I'm going to go with the hippopotamus at three. One of the most destructive, strong, vicious creatures on the planet, the hippo. And then four is going to be one that people have had as pets, and you hear horror stories about their faces getting ripped off. Chimpanzee or monkeys. Yeah. When people have pet monkeys, chimpanzees, they rip their face. That lady got, like, her face ripped off by a monkey.
Oh, Jane or whatever her name is. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just a horror story. Chimpanzees at four.
Joe,
I would like a monkey, though. I think it would be fun. Like, a monkey would be fun to have. Like, if it was well-behaved and trained.
You're thinking of, like a
Michael Jackson's?
Aladdin. Yeah, there you go.
A Abu. I even think a chimp. Like, you see some of the ones that are trained there in, like, Hollywood. Like, those are awesome, man. Those look a lot of fun, you know? You're thinking of the wild fucking, like, you know. I would have gone with wild still. Okay, I'm going to go then.
I do just want to say, with your hippo call, our dear friend Forrest Calante of Animal Planet always told me and Joe that the scariest, one of the most deadliest animals is the hippopotamus.
The hippo, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kill more people than 100%. Almost any other animal.
Yes. The hippo is the worst. I saw a hippo chew an alligator's head off. I saw a video of it. It was nuts. Yeah. Just bit his head right in half. Oh. Sick.
A crocodile, probably you would have to take multiple crocodiles to take a hippo down.
They ain't fucking
it's so big. Oh, it's so big. They would have to have they would have to have two or three crocodiles at once going at a hippo. It's so big.
The hippo's jaw is so powerful, it could just crush it just crushes anything that goes in it. Just crush it.
You ever seen those videos of hippos chasing the boats where they come out, out of the water, and it's fucking horrifying. Well,
a lot of the times they think the boat or the canoe is like a crocodile, so they'll submerge it.
Is that so?
Yes, they think so. They're trying to protect their babies, and they'll submerge and break off just disintegrate the canoe, and then people will drown to death. So it's not even necessarily that the hippo is killing them, like eating them. They just cause them to die by fucking drowning. It's horrifying.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not fun. I'm going to go, Mikey went chimpanzee. I'm going to go with the silverback gorilla. These things are like a monkey on a chimp on steroids. And let me tell you ever see these things get territorial? They are horrifying. And they're also some of the smartest animals in the animal kingdom. So you can't just like put this thing in a pen. Like, it would figure out a way to break through. I'm not fucking with the silverback gorilla, dude. No questions asked.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I say a bear?
Sure.
Yeah, like a brown bear, just a fucking bear. And then how about a tapeworm?
That's a bog, Bob. I'm not going to accept that, unfortunately. I was going to go mosquito, but it's a bug.
Yeah,
you need to have an animal.
Not a problem. But isn't that considered an animal?
No, it's a different. An insect is different than an animal.
Okay. Fair enough. So how about scorpion?
Yeah, I would accept that. Scorpion? Technically, I think
it's an arachnid.
It's an arachnid, but I think that's more like, I don't know, Mikey, what do you think? I think that's more acceptable. No,
that's fine.
I guess it's not a great pick. That's why you could just let it right on through.
It's all right.
Yeah. Really kind of scary. All right, it's me. It's my last one.
Yes, it is.
I want to say tiger, but you know, fucking what's his name? Mike Tyson made that tiger look so cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought about that also, and then I was like, well, it successfully has been a pet, so I don't know.
D-Man, you could get deeper in the bag.
All right, I'll give you one. I give me a hyena, just the fucking thumb of the fucking earth. Now, the tough thing is I've been called like the human version of a hyena by some people.
So am I.
Because of my laugh and just how outrageous I am. But these things are mongrels, man. They are fucking, they try to steal the dead carcass off the lions. Like, they're just hated in the animal world. And they're vicious as fuck. They're diabolical. Give me the hyena to round out my five.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm going to take this. To me, this is the most horrifying creature on the planet. It really is, because it combines the look of a spider. It has the name spider in it. It is truly, it is one of the, I'm going to take the Japanese spider crab seen here, which is one of the most insane creatures on the face. The Japanese spider crab, Bob.
Spider crab.
I mean, okay. This thing, Bob, look at this guy in a little pool with it. Like this, look at this nut in a pool with that thing. What I mean, I would, you couldn't pay me enough money to get in a pool with something like that. You could not. You could not do it. I don't think you could.
Oh, Mikey, there's a price. Everybody
could be a price. It would be hefty.
Sure, you just see him. You see him in that pool. He's draping the W flag over the crab.
You know, if W is watching, nobody's gotten more pub.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like maybe Wendy before we got Wendy. So if W is watching,
give this man his flowers, man. Give his roses.
Well, I was gonna say for us too, because he's already part of the roster. W belongs on the Braille and the Dumb Show. If I do say so myself, obviously I'm a little bit biased. But you boys ready to hear the list?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Bob, lion, great white shark, anaconda, bear, scorpion, the D-man.
Mine is not going to win just because if people see it, they're not going to know the ins and outs.
It's very you, though. And you know what?
The way it's been going. Let's hear it.
Porcupine, saltwater croc, jellyfish, gorilla, hyena. And then you got Michael.
Skunk, there's no world I win.
Elephant, hippo, Japan, chimpanzee, Japanese spider crab. I think it's going to be between me and
Michael. I think Bob's going to win it because people just looking at the list are going to see the scariest animals on Bob's side. And so they're going to pick it. But you got to think. You got to, like, there's a reason and a rationale between, you know, my pick. And I think Mikey's pick with the skunk is a great pick, too. It's not the most horrifying, but it is.
No, but who the fuck wants to live with a skunk?
It's the same with the porcupine. Like, you got to think. But I think just from the eye test alone, I don't think we stand a chance.
You should have said the Portuguese man of war for the jellyfish. That's a real prick jelly. That's like the worst jellyfish on the earth.
Jellyfishes in general, if you even touch them, they fucking electrocute you. They're disgusting looking,
very disgusting.
Slimy fucking creatures. Just awful. You know,
sorry to cut you off. Would you guys rather get into like go into the deep sea for like 10 minutes, like deep sea.
No.
Well, hold on here.
No, I'm out.
No, but hold on. You go into, get dropped into the deep sea, like where we were fishing, Joe. Go into the deep sea, or an alligator infested pond.
I mean, you'd have to take the deep sea. Just if you knew the pond was alligator infested, you'd have to say, I'm going to take the deep sea and take my chances.
Well, I shouldn't say infested. Let's say there's a couple alligators in the pond. Because I would take the sea.
And there, it's factual that they're in there. You know for certain they're in there. You got to take the deep sea and gamble. You have to. You can't go.
There are scarier things lurking in the fucking ocean than some pond, dude.
There are, but I mean, how long do you have to survive? That's another question. Like, how long I got to be in there?
And by the way, I'm going to say something. I don't think either of you have ever done it. Either of you ever tried scuba diving?
I wouldn't do that. That I don't think.
It is. Just even get. Well, you have to scuba dive if you're going into the deep fucking ocean, Bob. Scuba diving, let me tell you something. I went scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef. It is fucking brutal.
Hold on. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia, you went scuba diving in the Great Barrier Reef?
Scuba diving. I'm not lying.
The shark capital of the world, you went scuba diving in?
Scuba diving, yeah. And by the way, learn just to do every day, just Bob. Bobby, just to even learn, you have to breathe in and out of your mouth.
Yeah, like, freaks me out.
And you're trying to like you go, like they're like, all right, boys, you'll jump over, and these Aussies just like kick you overboard, and you're in the water. And I was like fucking freaking out, trying to breathe through this fucking apparatus that's like this oxygen tank. It's awful. I'm telling you, if you have to just worry about the scuba diving, and then on top of that, you got fucking whales, and you got the current, great whites, the current, you got the current away. Pulling you. I mean,
I dude. Would never, I would, you could, well, I would
the old but, W scuba but, suit.
But to go into the Great Barrier Reef takes a lot of balls, man. I mean, there's beautiful, you hear about Michael. A great white attack there almost every year. There's somebody getting eaten by a great white shark.
It was amazing.
Would you ever go in the cage, Joe, the shark
yes,
cage? You would do that?
Oh, depending if somebody paid me to do it and I knew it was reinforced, I'd be scared shitless, but I you could probably get me in there.
Do you know what freaks me out? They show that now they have this thing where they'll show Jaws on an outdoor TV at like a lake at night, and you people like pay to go watch it and swim in like a lake at night with the movie on the TV. Fuck you. I couldn't do that either. And you know, there's no great white shark in the lake, obviously, but it's still like the mental aspect. Sure. Of it. I don't want nothing to do
Mikey,
with that. Nothing.
We were in the ocean on Grant's boat, and there were fucking sharks all around us coming up, and we had a bait, and this shark ripped the fucking head off of this fucking fish like it was a gummy worm.
But in the boat at daytime, the captain's there, like that doesn't.
But I'm saying, if you're in the ocean, though, they're like,
oh,
depending.
If you're in the ocean, I mean, you're fair game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's something about not knowing what's going on under you in the water. Oh, is
very frightening.
Just,
very
you see those pictures where you have like the diver or whatever, and then underneath you see the massive fucking like shadow of a great white that's right below it, and they have no idea. Mm. That is.
Oh, dude, those are brutal. The reason I asked the pond thing, though, gators freak me the fuck out. I think it's such a bad way to go. I see these videos of these guys going into the ponds, and sometimes at night, and the vision, it's murky. Like, at least with the ocean, a lot of times you can at least see what's coming your way. The ponds are more murky, and it just freaks me the fuck out, man.
I remember when my mother dragged me onto the Universal Studios, the Jaws ride, when I was a
great
kid.
Ride, yeah.
Fucking
horrible.
I was fucking
really, I was scared.
I was 6 years old. I was fucking terrified. I was fucking terrified. Terrified.
Even in that water, even if just knowing it's a robotic shark, it would still
if
scare
I
the
fell
hell
into
out
that
of
water, Bob, I would have a fucking heart attack.
Me too.
I would have
me
a
too.
Fucking heart attack with that animatronic shark in there. Get the fuck out. I would have a fucking heart attack, bro. I would have a fucking
so
heart
scary.
Attack. I'd die on the spot. I would die on the spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, so that does it for yet another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Always a pleasure. Clap it up, fellas. A nice long
We made it work,
there.
By the way. All traveling, Bob LA, I'm Billy, Mikey's Hardo Beach Camp. Like, we all made it work, man.
There was a world where we had even thought, and we haven't done it in 2 years, of even just doing a day later. I didn't want to ruin the streak. I was so afraid to ruin the streak, and we didn't. Like you said, Pete.
Streak's
got
alive.
It in.
Streak's
the streak
alive.
I have a
is
question.
Alive.
Go ahead. Question. What streak gets broken first, Bob's cameo streak or the Brilliantly Dumb Show recording?
I would say the cameo streak, because the cameo, sometimes it cuts close, or if I like fell asleep. And
I fell asleep to one. It was 20 minutes left before it was due, and I had to bang it out before the pod.
I got one that expires in like an hour for fantasy football already. Like,
get it out.
I can't do that. I can't let it get that. It scares me. But that's prime season, though, Michael.
Oh,
it is. Yeah, yeah. Fantasy.
Give him that plug, Michael.
No, there's no plug.
Young man. Plug. All right, fellas, love you. We appreciate you. Please take the time to like, comment, and subscribe. Back to your regular schedule program from everybody's homes next week. We love you. That's the Brilliantly Dumb Show.